Show. Well, folks, Chewbacca didn't make it. Sadly. Truly an icon, if ever there was one, of science fiction, particularly that pertaining to space and Star Wars. Kind of interesting, because as we all know, Chewbacca had this kind of cross of a tiger and leopard and God knows what else kind of noise that he made when he talked, and the only person that could understand him was Han Solo. And what actually took place behind the scenes and video for this, you can look it up on YouTube, surfaced just this week, that the lines were actually said. They were actually spoken, and then the sound of Chewbacca dubbed over. So really kind of a fascinating piece of the history that was Star Wars. The Star Wars legacy, it has multiple levels, really. There's the current timeline, which isn't really a current timeline, considering that Star Wars happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But then you've got the Old Republic, the Knights of the Old Republic. There's just so much lore that goes into Star Wars. And at this point, I'd say to be a part of it in any way, shape, or form is, it's got to be amazing, you know, to be a part. And to be, even if you're just a bit actor that plays like, you know, the cantina owner, it's still just awesome. And I love Star Wars, you know. I play the Old Republic. I've got a couple of, well, more than a couple, level 70 characters, Sith, Jedi, bounty hunters, scoundrels, operatives, you know, all that stuff. And so much has been put into this universe that it defies description. Truly an amazing storyline. And it definitely rivals Harry Potter. In fact, if anything, I'd say J.K. Rowling borrowed elements from Star Wars. So, in any event, that is the story. If you're a gamer at all and you haven't checked out The Old Republic, I implore you to try it out. I mean, it's free to play. You can become a premium subscriber for the same price as a World of Warcraft subscription, and it's just worth every penny. The real world has gotten to a point where escaping to the Star Wars universe, at least there, you kind of know what to expect. Sith are Sith. The Empire's the Empire. The Republic's the Republic. Not like our world where, oh, today we're mad about this. Just like, it always comes at you, and you don't really know how to react in real time. I am no longer of the suspicion that the Democrats are just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what's sticking. I am now suspicious that what's actually going on is political suicide. Because let's face it, the Republicans don't get anything more accomplished than the Democrats. Even when they have total control, they just tie themselves up in red tape and politics and back alley handshakes and lobbyists. Can we officially say that lobbying should be outlawed? I've heard the counter argument for that, and I don't care. You know, bribing people to get a law passed is just the highest level of scum and villainy I can possibly think of. And just stop. But what if what's happening is that the Democrats are committing political suicide because what's happening is the formation of an oligarchy in our country? Think about this for a minute. One party to rule them all. I mean, this is scary stuff, and I hate to go here because this is the kind of crap that InfoWars crowd is all about. Although Alex Jones is all about, or was all about, Trump, even though he's been banned from like everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know. The only way to read anything or be exposed to anything that he's come up with is to go to his website. And in the day of social media, that's really crippling. But what if that's what it is? What if the purpose of all of this is to give all the power to one side and become a single-party country? You know, we've always suspected this is what a lot of people have suspected that this is what the Democrats have been trying to do. But what if they've been made the redheaded stepchild? What if they're acting out so that the pendulum continues to swing further right until it just kind of stalls right? As people are like, well, I mean, they're losing their minds. Look at the people they have running. Not running, but who they have as representation. Cortez, AOC, oh my gosh. You can't be serious with her. There's no way. I mean, she couldn't manage a game of chutes and ladders. I think it's evident to anybody that's even halfway paying attention that she's dumber than a bag of left-handed hammers. She is just dumb. She runs her mouth. She doesn't know anything about U.S. history or economics or anything. She just runs her mouth for the sake of running her mouth. I think this, you know, this is either the left's attempt to make their own Donald Trump, and of course it's got to be a woman because the patriarchy, or it's part of their suicide plan. And if they have a suicide plan, it means that not just the Democrats, but the Republicans as well are under the thumb of somebody else. And they think that a one-party system is the way to go for this country to assume better control. But here's the thing. Have they ultimately landed on capitalism? And not the good kind of capitalism where everybody's got a shot, but out of control crony capitalism where the rich get super rich and the poor just screw them. We're not giving them benefits. We're not giving them medical, nothing. They can just go fry, which is an ugly side of capitalism, by the way. See, people think that socialism is the only one that can turn ugly. So, you know, socialism gets everybody on welfare, eventually goes broke, and then decides they don't care about the poor people, and you end up with Venezuela. And, you know, people aren't buying it. And so then you have Donald Trump, which people see as a hero because he's a bull in a china shop. The problem is what if this was placement? I mean, he just kind of suddenly announced that he was going to run for president after toying with the idea for one whole election and then the beginning of the second, you know, post-Obama election or the first post-Obama election. He just, maybe I'll run. Okay, I'm running. Everything is the Matrix right now. We can't believe anything. Anybody that's looking to CNN or Fox and thinking that the information they need is right there, they're crazy. You know, it's a lie. We are in danger of becoming a one-party country. And it doesn't end well for the working stiff. Okay? Just look at some of the things that capitalism is introducing. Artificial intelligence, which we're not doing it smart. You know, there's people that scoff at the idea of a master robot race that just decides, you know what, humans are imperfect, and ends us. Which I don't think is impossible, by the way. An imperfect being creates another being. Well, that being by default is going to be imperfect because human reasoning and logic is flawed to a T. But then they don't put safeguards. Make sure that these things are only ever servants. No, we want them to learn, to reason, to basically act like we do. Only with every piece of AI that comes out is going to be brilliant. You know, there are dumb people. Let's face the facts. There are dumb people. And dumb people, their survival rate is not as good as smart people. Because dumb people do things like go outside and watch the tornado that's racing towards her. Hey, check it out, Ma, that's a big one. And then, boom, you know. And not all dumb people are rednecks, by the way. There are dumb people from every walk of life. But the point is that we come up with ideas and we don't take the obvious precautions. They have a mission to replace most blue-collar jobs with automation, I think it's in the next 50 years. There's already lists coming out of who's going to lose their job first. My question is this. If, let's say, I don't know what the number is, let's just throw a number out, 40% of the workforce can no longer find work. Who's buying your products? Who's buying your services? If everybody's broke, who's going to spend all this money you're hoping to make? I mean, has anybody thought of that? Or does it just not matter? As long as the robots, you know, are there and we don't have to pay some schlep to sit there at a, you know, a conveyor anymore. And we can have a robot do it, or we can have a robot make hamburgers. We can have a robot do everything. Right on down to rectal exams. I mean, that's just crazy, crazy, crazy. The idea that we're toying with the idea is bad enough. The fact that it's already been implemented. Self-driving semi-trucks. And did you know that self-driving cars, their default factory setting is to aim for the softest item on the road in the event of an unavoidable accident. So if you've got a car and a pedestrian, the car, the self-driving car, is going to aim for the pedestrian. Less damage. Now, I'm sure they'll change that. But just that shows how we rush things out to production. We don't even think about what we're doing. And if that's the kind of capitalism that's coming, we're screwed. You know, rush this to production. How many games get rushed to production? How many ideas get rushed to production? Look at the Sonic the Hedgehog thing from the last couple weeks. They put out that CGI Sonic, and people are like, this is terrible. Rushed to production. You know, people, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm being an alarmist. But I like to be a realist and say, okay, this is how bad it could get and be ready. But I don't like to be the panic guy like Glenn Beck and start buying solar panels that'll, you know, run an entire city along with food rations so that when the apocalypse comes, at least I can eat. When the apocalypse comes, look, that squirrel's dying. What I want to know is, where am I going to take a dump? Anybody out there besides me notice that mass shootings, for some reason, seem to go up during a presidential election year, especially since the last decade? Kind of suspicious, you know? I enjoy it when a bunch of activists that are just completely, practically insane to the point where they back themselves into their own moral corner. It's always fun to watch, you know? We're going to take this particular subject and cram it down the throats of people who don't agree. And then we're going to bombard them with why it's politically incorrect and bigoted and hateful for them to disagree with our viewpoint on this subject. And I'm not picking any particular subject, just pick one at random that you know is in the public discourse right now. Because inevitably, what happens is that another group, even more nuts than they are, starts going, "Hey, us too." I mean, that's, you know, and then the group that came before it is like, "Whoa, wait a minute, that subject, that is just a little bit south of cheese. You can't allow that into the public discourse. I mean, that definitely crosses the line." And then another group steps in and says, "Well, wait a minute now. What you're saying is what's good for the goose is not good for the gander, even though they're both geese. You're saying, no, you can't do that." Now, it's illegal to make bombs. But I could go down to Home Depot and I could buy all the materials I wanted to build a bomb. It's illegal for me to do so, but it wouldn't stop me from doing it. The obvious answer, if you use the modern dialogue, is to ban all those materials. Nobody can buy them. Problem is farmers would be up in arms because one of the items is fertilizer. And if you ban fertilizer, well, you're effectively banning food, or at least growing it in a way that would be effective to bring to market. But that's essentially where we're at in this country with multiple subjects, is that you can't, you know, this is okay, but that isn't. You got one minority group saying, "Well, if you don't like us or what we're doing, and you call it, you know, gross or sinful or whatever your terminology is, you're a bigot." And then another group that's even further out on the fringe has now moved closer to the center because of the first group. And so now that group is, they're going to want rights too. They're going to want to be recognized. Let's suppose that the activity they want to engage in is illegal. Well, now we have to revisit. Because what's the activity? And we're not talking about terrorists and bombing and guns. We're just talking about social issues that start delving into areas that are not exactly culturally acceptable. But see, all this stuff started as culturally unacceptable. And then it kind of moved to the center. And every generation that faces this moral dilemma says the same thing. "Well, that'll never happen because, you know, this, or this." And then you get two or three generations past and suddenly, well, maybe not. I mean, what's the real loss here? I mean, maybe if we just remove it as being detestable, not as many people will be fascinated with it. Yeah, that's kind of what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah, and look where they are now. Cities like New York don't like sugar. They blame sugar on the fact that a lot of Americans are fat. You know, because Wideglide over there wants to get the big friggin'... You ever see those mugs, those portable drinking mugs that you typically put cold drinks in? And they're huge. You know, at this point, you're no longer measuring in ounces, you're measuring in buckets. And they fill it with soda. And, you know, it's usually a big guy that's doing it. I mean, we're talking about a guy that when he walks forward, he almost looks like he's walking backwards. You know, that's how big he is. And then New York looks at that, because the thing is there are certain political people in this country that are just, they're disgusted by fat people. I know a lot of heavy people. Hell, some of the most pleasant people I know, not all of them jolly. That's a misnomer. But apparently part of being politically correct and accepting minority groups does not include fat people. All right, if you're gay, fine. If you're transgender, fine. If, you know, you're African or Puerto Rican or Chinese or any of those things, fine. we must be tolerant of all people. And I agree. I agree. I don't think it's right to dislike or hate anybody because of a skin color or a religion or a sexual preference. How come fat people aren't in this same category? Now, I could have gone with the obvious one. How come Christians aren't? But I think this one is a little bit more in your face. I think this one's a little bit more indicative of how these people that are politically motivated take who they're going to accept cafeteria style. And apparently Christians, Jews, and fat people are not in that list. Yeah, well, laddie, Christians and Jews, they're not exactly minorities, are they? You know, 10 years ago, I would have agreed. But in particular, Christianity's had membership falling off in droves. So what are you going to do when there's only like 10% of the population that's Christian? What are you going to do then? Because now they've fallen below that threshold that you have, you know, written in imaginary writing in the sky. So where do they fall? Because if you hate fat people, and you're on a mission to make sure fat people can't have the things that make them happy, you know, that old let people enjoy things. No, we can't do that. You can't have 64 ounces of Pepsi anymore because it makes you fat and we don't like fat people. I don't want anybody calling in and saying, oh, no, it has to do with health. Their health impacts our health insurance. Bull crap. You don't give a crap about health insurance. What you care about is when you're walking down the street in the summer and the Wide Glide comes walking down the street and he's wearing Daisy Dukes and you're forced to see something that looks like a baby bird, you're disgusted. Now that has more to do with fashion laws than anything else. That has little to do with whether or not that person drinks a lot of soda. It's not like there's an actual risk that you're actually going to see a fat guy wearing Daisy Dukes. You might go to Florida and you might see a fat guy that thinks that he looks good in his platinum Speedos. That is entirely possible. But and by the way, Speedos, why are you making Speedos that big? You're practically encouraging this kind of behavior. But the fact of the matter is there's an intolerance towards heavy people. And it is... It's like the big elephant in the room. Nobody wants... Everybody's pretending it's not happening. You know, we're accepting all these different groups that have it a little rough. You don't think fat people have it rough? You don't think the heavy guy has a difficult time? Especially when he gets on an airplane and he's forced to sit in a seat that's three sizes too small? You know, maybe the guy doesn't... Maybe the guy doesn't have an eating problem. Maybe it's a chemical imbalance that can't be treated with medication. We don't know. You know, the same guy can't fit through the average doorway. I'm not making jokes here. I'm serious. There are different difficulties with being a heavy person. Back issues, your feet hurt, your knees are bad. But see, that's where the political correctness ends. It ends with something that's visually unpleasant. You know, oh, he should get control over his weight issue. Well, no, man. I'm sorry, but sometimes it's not that simple. And by saying, well, he just needs to put down the sandwich, you're basically doing the same thing to a heavy person that, say, a bigoted religious zealot does to a gay person. Lumping everybody together in the same category. Which really brings it down to nuts and bolts for me. I mean, we don't like fat people or Christians or Jewish people. Jewish people, and here's a stereotype inserted here, Jewish people all own all the businesses and are part of the Illuminati and yada, yada, yada. Christians hate all gays and transgenders and pretty much everybody that isn't Christian. Not true, by the way, but thanks for the slight. See, the tolerance is politically a political factor. It is not about tolerance. It's about, hey, these people right here, yeah, they would vote for us. And the sooner we realize this fact, the better off we're going to be. Because if we don't realize it, then we deserve what we get in the end, which is when those people that used your head to step on their way up the ladder of power, turn on you and say, hey, you know what, you're a freak, and eugenics says we need to eliminate you. Oh, yeah, you think I'm crazy, but so do people in Germany.
The young may develop the marauding habits of the underworld. Today, Americans of every age are in need of an essential part of community life.
The Vince Wild Show.